just an uplifting, encouraging song, and knowing that whom shall we fear? We have none to fear except for the Lord our God, who is our strength. And praise the Lord for that. Well, if you would please turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we'll be. You find the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, toward the end of the New Testament. If you go to the book of Revelation, the last book, you just flip back several books there. You'll pass 1 Peter and then James, and then keep going backwards until you run into the book of Hebrews, and then we'll be in chapter 11. I hope everyone's year, 2019, is starting off on the right foot, if you will. And hopefully, as we sang together earlier, that it's in the footprints of the Lord Jesus. And can't go wrong there. And thank the Lord for that. And we just are rejoicing together. The first full week of this year has gone so well. And just as we are praying and asking God to work in our church, to work in our hearts, to get us where He wants us to be, conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a great trip. Thank you for those who were praying, and just as a short trip to New York, but made it back safely. Thank you for your prayers, and most of you have, I think, finished up your traveling. I know some of you have also been traveling this past week. It's good to see you here, and hopefully we're settling in for the year, and I hope you'll make plans. We'll mention this at the end of the show. I hope you'll make plans to be back tonight. I just want to just encourage, especially every member, to be here. It is a foundational evening for the rest of our year. Okay, I'll be talking about the vision God has put on my heart for the theme for the year, some of the things that goals that ministries I think the Lord is leading us to. So I'd love for you to be here. And if you're just a friend of the Creek, you're not a member, hey, I want to encourage you to be here. It's an excellent opportunity for you to come and hear what our church is doing, what we plan on doing by God's grace. And you'll receive a gift as well. Many of you friends of the Creek that have been coming for a while consistently, we do have a bag, a vision gift bag prepared for you as well. So you come on out, and I know it'll be an enjoyable time together, and I know the Lord will bless you for your obedience there. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I trust that this morning's message will help lead us into tonight's service. Let me talking about vision this morning. Let me talking about what the Lord says about for His children in the context of vision. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. The Bible says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." I'm going to read that again. Verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." With the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message entitled, "Seeing Afar Off." Seeing Afar Off. Let's pray together. Almighty God, I just want to first of all say that, Lord, I need You. I can do nothing without You, Lord Jesus, and the power of Your Spirit. I want to thank You for Your love for me and for every person in this church. I want to thank You for Your will, that it's perfect. I want to thank You for everyone that has made the effort to come and be faithful to this service this morning. No doubt battles getting here. There always seems to be. But Lord, You've got us here, and I pray that You would just meet with us. That You would speak to us. Speak through me, Lord. through your word and the power of your spirit, I just pray that you would bless each heart here, that they would be attentive and that you would remove distractions. And God, that we would truly have the vision that you want us to have. Lord, we do look to you and you alone. And we're going to thank you right now for what you will accomplish through this service. For we do ask these things and pray these things in the wonderful, marvelous name of Jesus. Amen. Seeing afar off. These we see in verse number 13 are referring to, this word is referring to five individuals that are mentioned in the previous verses. Who were they? Well, you see there in verse number 4, by faith Abel. Then verse number 5, you see by faith Enoch. Then you see verse 7, by faith Noah. Then you see verse 8, by faith Abraham. And then you go down to verse 11, through faith also Sarah. So it's referring to this group of people is who the context is. And it's talking about in what they were looking forward to. They died in faith, the Word of God says. What were they looking for? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves to understand the primary interpretation of this passage is what were these people looking for? They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for King Jesus. They were looking for Him to come, and they believed He would come. They had accepted that fact that He would come, and they died believing that. Though they did not get to see Him, they see Him now. Though they did not get to see Him, they died believing that He would come. But while they waited, they did not wane in their vision for God's daily miraculous power. That's something that I hope that we can look towards this morning as we too wait for the Messiah. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you haven't waned in your vision of the rapture, the very fact that it could be today. It could be during this message. That would be great. Oh, as I think about singing It Is Well With My Soul, as I think about the Lord coming even during that song. Oh, you know, friends, I hope we understand that that's what we should be looking forward to. The coming of the Messiah. That's what they were looking forward to. But what should we do while we're waiting? Should we lose our vision in other areas of life that God is wanting to do in us and our families in this church while we wait for the Lord? Listen, I believe it's near. People talk about look for the signs, look for the signs. I heard one author say recently, we need to stop looking for the signs and be listening for the sound of the trumpet. And I tell you, we need to be looking for our Lord with a vision that, no, He said He's coming. We need to be looking forward to His coming. But while we wait, we need to see God's miraculous power working even while we wait. These five that I mentioned, they saw the miraculous power of God while they waited. And we're going to learn some things from them this morning, be reminded of some things from them this morning of what they did see. What about Abel? Word of God says that he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. He had the opportunity of having the first detailed account of offering a sacrifice to God. Now, we know there were animals slain to give coats to Adam and Eve. We do know that. But this is the first detailed account that we find in the book of Genesis and here that what he offered to the Lord. Wow. The miraculous hand of God in Abel's life. And then Enoch, we see, was translated, the Word of God says there in verse 5, that he should not see death. I would say that's a significant miracle, wouldn't you? One day, you're all standing around and either yourself or somebody just all of a sudden disappears. That would be quite miraculous. Now, I know some of you would never wish that upon anybody in your presence. But the truth is, that's what happened to him because he was a man that loved God and knew God and is a type of the rapture, but God just took him out of here. He did not experience death. Well, that is a perfect picture of the church. Those that are living when Christ comes, they will not experience death. They will be taken right out of here. But that was a miraculous experience that he had on this earth. What about Noah? Do you think Noah experienced God's miraculous power? Even though he didn't see the Messiah, he experienced. The Word of God says there, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. What a reminder to us this morning that God, while we wait, He wants us to be moving. He wants us to be doing something for Him so that He can just show His miraculous power in the meantime. I think it's pretty miraculous, don't you? Thinking about those, building that tremendous ark. Some of you, how many of you have been to the ark that's been built? Okay, but maybe about a quarter, maybe 25% of you. I haven't been yet. I'd love to go. I'm looking forward to going. But how miraculous was that sight? To Noah as he was building it, and of course his children, and then once it was completed, getting the animals on board of every kind, and just a miraculous work of God. Then the floods, that was seeing the miraculous power of God. Noah got to see that. But then I also think of the other that was mentioned. I think of Abraham. Abraham got to see God's miraculous power. Called him out of a land that he was used to, comfortable with, and called him into a land he had no idea where he was going. Word of God says he didn't know where he was going. You ever feel like that? I feel that way when I drive north. We see that this man did not know where he was going, but he followed God by faith and he saw God provide in some miraculous ways. And by the way, when you step out by faith, you may not understand what's coming next. But I assure you, friend, God is going to meet you right there. He promises to. These people walked by faith in their life while waiting for the Messiah. They never saw Him, but they did see God's miraculous power. We see also when we talked about in Sunday school this morning, Brother Ricky, how he offered up his son Isaac and saw the miraculous power of God's provision there at the last moment. That's what he saw, a life of sacrifice and surrender. He saw it. What about Sarah? Sarah, in her old age, laughed in her heart at the Lord. The very fact that she could conceive and the very fact that she was going to have a child at that age, she laughed in her heart, and then God would remind her, Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too miraculous for the Lord? Listen, sometimes I'm afraid, church, and I'll be the first to raise my hand, both hands. I believe sometimes our God is too small in our hearts and minds. He's a great, big, almighty, omnipotent God. And He is desiring to show His miraculous power in our lives, even today and this year and the years to come. I'm asking God to renew our vision. Sarah received strength to conceive. Wow. The power of God in their life. That should be our experience too. Each day seeking to be used of the Lord and to see His wonderful power working in our lives. The vision for it. And that's the gist of this morning's message, church, is that are we seriously looking for God's miraculous power to work in our lives? Are we consciously thinking daily how we might be a part of something much bigger than ourselves? God wants us to think that way. God does not want us to settle for the status quo. God does not want us to be mediocre. God wants us to be filled with His Spirit, looking to see His supernatural power working. Vision. Seeing beyond ourselves. Nearly 400 years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. The first year, they established a town site. The next year, they elected a town government. The third year, the town government planned to build, get this, a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. 5 miles. The fourth year, the people tried to impeach their town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles westward into a wilderness. They said, who needed to go there anyway? Here were people who had a vision to see over a thousand miles across the ocean, to go to a new land, to go to a new place, to start a new life. They had vision that somewhere along the lines, they lost it. What a scary place to be for the believer, to lose vision. They had just been there a few years and they had overcome hardships, but they couldn't even see going 5 miles out of town. They had lost their pioneering vision. And I want to say this morning, with a clear vision of what we become in Christ, no ocean of difficulty is too great. Without it, we rarely move beyond our current boundaries. That article, that illustration written by Lynn Anderson. Hey, can I say, we know that God is wanting to do great things in and through us. The second coming of Christ, the rapture, should be longed for each day for the New Testament believer. For today, I would like to focus on this point. What about today? What do we have a vision for today or tomorrow, next week, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? What is vision? Vision is defined like this. As Webster would define it, the ability to see, sight or eyesight, something that you imagine. You know, we all have imaginations that we use, things that we dream of. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, dreaming purely as a child of God. Child of God, can I tell you something this morning? It is okay to dream. That doesn't hurt God's feelings one bit. For you to dream about what's possible as you put your hand, your body, and your life in the hands of the Almighty. There's nothing to fear there, friend. You can dream as big as you can. God is pleased when we come with that type of faith. What do you see yourself doing for the Lord? You see, this is something we need. We need vision. As children of God. Now listen, let me clarify something. I do not believe that God's people receive today extra biblical revelation. Okay? The canon is complete. There's no need for more revelation. But what I do believe, I wholeheartedly believe, is that God gives His children, get this, God-sized dreams. God-sized dreams that only He can fulfill. I believe that. Do you? God-sized desires and dreams that can only be accomplished by His power. Let me give you my definition here. Now, I'm sure there are other definitions better. In fact, I know there are. This is just something that God put on my heart to wait that it's that I see it in my heart and mind as I study the Scriptures and I think of my subject this morning of vision. It's defined like this. A vision for the New Testament believer is having God-sized dreams that can be reached only through a life of undaunted faith in God's power and unrelenting obedience to His will. Can I say that again? A vision for the New Testament believer is having God-sized dreams that can be reached only through a life of undaunted faith in God's power and unrelenting obedience to His will. Mark Batterson said in his book, Chase the Lion, he said, if your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. I'm telling you, I believe that. In the context of vision for the New Testament believer, what is your vision this morning? What is your God-sized dream? And I mean for every age group too. Some think, well, maybe the elderly or the older, the senior citizens, maybe it's too late for them to have vision. No. Hey, if you'd believe that, you better go read about Caleb. I believe Caleb had some vision, didn't he? About 85 years old, he was ready to take on that mountain. He had vision. What is your vision? Hey, listen. Another way it was defined, I heard this. A dream. What is a God-sized dream? It is this. A dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. A dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. That's what God wants. That's how He wants us to dream. Now listen, I understand this morning that we have a daily routine. We have a daily schedule. And you know God can show the miraculous and the mundane. You know God can do that. Every day we can see the miraculous power of God. But are we longing for it? Are we looking for it? Are we dreaming, church? I hope that we are a dreaming church. Not in the weird, spooky sense, where I believe some people can get really weird with that sort of thing. But when I say dreams, I mean that I hope we can imagine the power of God working in our lives. Working in the lives of others. Areas that seem impossible. Let me go through these quickly if I can. How can we learn from these in verse number 13? We can learn from them because, yes, they were primarily waiting for the Messiah. They were longing for Him. But in the meanwhile, God was using them. Look with me first of all here that this very fact that these all died in faith. Wow, what a testimony. What does that mean, church? Excuse me. What does that mean? It means simply this. They never lost their vision. They never lost it. They died believing that they would see the Messiah. They died believing that God was going to show Himself faithful. They died believing that God was a God of His Word and that He would send that Messiah. They died in faith. Now we're going to look at the next five participles that we see in this verse. Now a participle is a verbal adjective. It is a verbal adjective that is pretty much modifying the main verb of the sentence. And the main verb of this sentence is that they died. That they died in faith. And the next five participles that we're going to look at basically qualify that verb. They basically explain and express what was going on in these people's lives leading up to their point of death. Well, what was taking place in their life? Let's look first. Number one, it says, not having received the promises. Well, we know that leading up to their death, they never saw the Messiah. We know that. Jesus would come later, born of a virgin. We just celebrated it as Christmas. He did come, but at that point, He did not come, but they did not waver. Even though they hadn't received the promise, look over there in verse 39. It talks about the other Old Testament saints. Look at their testimony in chapter 11. Look there with me. It says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, what? Received what? Not the promise. But they remained faithful. Can I ask you something this morning? What have you been praying for that has not come? What have you been praying for? What have you been longing for? Well, maybe a sign. I don't know. Maybe it's a specific prayer. Maybe it's you're discouraged because the Lord hasn't come. But can I tell you something? According to this verse, these people, even though the Lord had not come, they remained faithful. Maybe there are some of God's promises that you've been claiming, and quite frankly, you haven't received or seen the answer to those promises. Maybe you are on the verge of giving up. Can I tell you what you probably are? You're a person like we all fall in at many times. You may be a person that has lost your vision. Your vision. God wants you to have vision in your life and in your family. Teenagers, God wants you to dream big for His glory. Young people, start dreaming now of what God can do for you.
Not for yourself, but for the Lord. Does it mean you have to go in ministry? Not necessarily. Absolutely not. I'm just talking about a life being used of the Lord. My best friends and some of the Christians that I respect the most in life, quite frankly, have not been pastors. They've been faithful laymen in the church that fear God and love Him and serve Him. Those are my heroes. Oh, I tell you, they died in faith. They died knowing that God was faithful. They weren't giving up, even though they hadn't received the promise. But then, thirdly, look with me. They all died in faith. That's the main. But then the first participle is that they have received the they had not received the promises. But then we see here, secondly, that it says here, but having seen them afar off, and that's where our title comes from. They, it says here in verse 13, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off. You know what they could see? They could see the Messiah through the eyes of faith. We see the coming of the Lord, the rapture, through the eyes of faith. They simply could see it. They could envision it. They knew what God was doing. They believed He would do it. Do you see yourself as a person who can see afar off? Maybe there are some things in your life, you say, well, Pastor, really, I hadn't even thought about what God can do for me or what God has done. I hadn't even thought about what I'm going to be doing next week or next year. Can I tell you, take a step back in your Christian life and say, Lord, I want to dream big. I want to have a vision of what You want to do in my life. For with the season that You have me in, whether I'm retired or whether I'm just now starting junior high or middle school, whatever they call it, God, show me. Let me be used of You today. Having seen afar off, what about yourself? Do you see yourself growing as a Christian? I hope you do. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand right now. I've got some serious rough edges. Join the club! But here's the thing. Do you see yourself having vision for wanting to grow? Wanting for God to continually changing you and working on those rough edges. Do you have vision to be reading your Bible more? Do you have vision to be in prayer more? Do you have vision to be used of the Lord, being a better mom, a better dad, a better daughter, a better son, a better aunt, a better uncle? Do you have a vision of growing in that role that God has called you to? Listen, they had seen afar off the faithfulness of God. This is called vision. Mark Twain said this, and I don't believe he was a believer, but he made a good point here that we can make some spiritual application. He says, I can teach anybody how to get what they want out of life. The problem is that I can't find anybody who can tell me what they want. You know, I'm afraid sometimes that's how I feel in my Christian walk. And I'm afraid there are Christians that seem that way. They don't even know what they want. They don't even try to figure out what they want in life. They just settle for mediocrity. They settle for, well, status quo. Instead of wanting to dream and wanting to see God work in their lives. I like what Helen Keller said, and it's true. We've all been there. The most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but has no vision. She could not see, but she most definitely had vision. And it took God doing some miraculous working in her life, of course. We know that. But seeing afar off, let me ask you something, church. Do you see afar off this morning? Do you try to vision yourself where you'll be a few years from now, where you'll be at the end of 2019 in your work for the Lord and your growth in the Lord? I want to encourage you, see afar off. That is vision. That is faith. But then look at the next participle. The third participle of this verse is were persuaded of them. Now, having seen them afar off, that's referring to the promises. And then also, and this is also referring to the promises, were persuaded of them. Now, what does this mean? This simply means that they were totally convinced that it was true. You know, the devil, he is so good at putting seeds of doubt in our minds. He's a professional at it. Sowing that seed of doubt and fear into our hearts and minds, and we become unpersuaded. But these people, pressing forward in their lives, and listen, you know as well as I do, these people were sinners just like you and me. These five people that we talked about. They struggled, but yet they did not lose their vision. A.W. Tozer said this, God is looking for people through whom He can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. I tell you, it's something that we need to realize. That God is wanting to do the impossible. God has promised us many things, has He not? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. He says, you draw nigh to me, children, and I'll draw nigh to you. That's a promise of God. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. You ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And we could just go through the line, the promises, even in the New Testament. We can go over into the Old Testament. I tell you, there's so many promises of God that we need to be claiming as God's children and be persuaded that He's going to work. And not tiptoeing into the throne room, wondering, well, He may work, He may not. No! There is a persuasion in your soul that God is working. And He is working to do the impossible. Hey, listen, if your dream is big enough, it'll scare you. And it should. God wants that type of vision and that faith. You know, old Uncle Oscar, he was apprehensive about his first airplane ride. His friends, eager to hear how it went, asked if he enjoyed the flight. Well, commented Uncle Oscar, it wasn't as bad as I thought it might be, but I'll tell you this, I never did put all my weight down. You know, sometimes we're that way, aren't we? We're a little bit reserved in being all in. We think we make ourselves vulnerable. And we reserve. But God's saying, no. All in! It's a step of faith! And you're persuaded that God's going to do the miraculous in my life, because I sure can't. But I'm persuaded that He can. Oh, we see that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. He was persuaded. But then look at this next participle that we're looking at that describes this group of people leading up to their death. And that is that they embraced them. They embraced the promises. Not only were they persuaded of them, but they embraced them. You know what that word can be translated as well? It gives the idea of welcoming and almost giving a great big hug. That's a paraphrase of that meaning. It truly is. It's welcoming the promises of God. Looking forward to the promises of God. These people embraced them with open arms. And you know what else it signifies? It signifies this. They acted as if they had already seen it. Wow. Wow. Vision they had. Adoniram Judson was lying in jail in Burma with 32 pounds of chains connected to his body. And to his ankles there, when she was there, were tied to a bamboo pole, and another prisoner asked, Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen? This was Judson's reply as he sits in prison in chains. The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. Oh, for that type of vision and faith when you may feel like you're in chains today. You may feel like, boy, this thing isn't going anywhere. Can I tell you, you've lost your vision for the promises of God. How big is your dream, church? How big is your vision? How big is mine? Are we expecting God to do great things? Oh, listen, we want to embrace these promises. The mighty Niagara River, which I just was not far from there just a few days ago, drops 180 feet at the American and Horseshoe Falls. Above the falls, there are violent rapids. Very, very dangerous. And before reaching the rapids, where boats are still able to navigate, there is a bridge for pedestrians. There is a sign mounted to this bridge that says, "Do you have an anchor?" And it goes on to say, "Do you know how to use it?" In other words, you better set your anchor down because you're headed right into danger. They said you better anchor down because you're headed into a very dangerous thing. Can I tell you something? As we think about God's promises and God Himself, we think of being embraced by the Almighty. We embrace the Lord's promises and they anchor us in the times of trouble. In the times where, get this, we lose the feeling. So much of today wants to be based upon feeling. Well, I don't feel the vision. I don't feel the burden. Do you know what I say to that? I'll say what my pastor always told me, and I didn't like it at the time, but the more I live, the more I understand it. He said, "Son, don't worry about your feeling. It's a choice of the will. Choose to have that vision for the Lord. Choose to have faith in His promises, whether you feel it or not." Three boys gave their definition of faith. One said, "Faith is taking hold of God." The second one said, "Faith is holding on to God." And a third said, "Faith is not letting go." That's the truth. It is. We hold on to God. God holds on to us. But I tell you what, it's not letting go. God will not let us go. We should not release. We need to embrace and trust that the Lord's promises, they're faithful. But then look at this last one, this last participle that describes these people before they died. And that is, look with me, "and confessed." And confessed. What did they confess? It says that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What does that tell me? And what does that tell you this morning? It tells us this, that this is a group of people that they had their eyes on the prize. They believed that the Messiah was coming, but in the meantime, they believed God for the miraculous for them that day. And they gave the testimony during that time that they were on their way home. They were pilgrims, it says. They were pilgrims and strangers just passing through. What does that tell me? They had a heavenly focus of a heavenly home. Listen, that's where it comes down to me and you today with a head. Listen, if I'm so caught up in my life on this earth and all about me, and I lose my eternal perspective on the things God's wanting to do, I will lose my vision. You will lose your vision. A church will lose their vision when they are inward focused instead of outward focused. They will become a church that's simply maintaining instead of thriving. God wants us to have vision. And He knows that that will come as us having an eternal focus, knowing what we're doing for the Lord. God is going to use it for His eternal glory. Oh, the things we'll talk about tonight, friend. The things we have in our calendar and the things that God is wanting to do through us. Why do we do that? Do we do to be in an article in a magazine? No. Do we do for somebody in our community to come pat us on the back? No. Why do we do what we do? We do what we do because we want to make an eternal difference. Why? Because we believe in the promises of God. And we believe that everything we do in this day is ultimately going to make an eternal impact somewhere, somehow. And that is what I believe these people did. They confessed. They weren't here for ourselves. We're not here to set up a kingdom for ourselves. We're here to look to God to do a work. And that is my prayer for us as a church. I think about this poem. I didn't write all of it because it's quite lengthy. But listen to this one section of this song. "Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." And listen to the last two lines. "And when I am dying," same meaning right here. As these people died, they were doing all of these things that I've preached on. "And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has burned out for thee. Oh, my friends, I don't know about you, but when I leave this world, I want to leave a light that has been shown for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to leave this world dying in faith, confessing, embracing, believing, even if the Lord doesn't do anything in my life, I am going to choose to believe, which I know He will. He has. Oh, my friends, what is your God-sized dream this morning? Do you have one? If no, why not? Are we spending our lives running to things that don't matter? I'd hate to be that one, and I don't want to be, that climbs that ladder to the top and realize when you get up there, you're on the wrong wall. But I'm afraid believers are going to do that someday. They're climbing this ladder for themselves, and at the end of life, they're going to look back and realize they were on the wrong wall. Instead of having a vision for the glory of God and focusing on things that matter. Hey, listen, do you think you have a besetting sin that is insurmountable? Is God calling you to a task that is impossible? Can I tell you? Have some vision. God will show up. God will work in your life. Where do you see yourself a year from now? 10 years from now? Listen, at the end of our lives, our greatest regrets will be that we never seized the opportunity to follow God, given dreams, God-given dreams, because of fear or maybe even selfishness. Listen, here in just a moment, I want to extend an invitation to every single person in this room. And that invitation is for this. Have you lost your vision? Or do you have a vision? And maybe you don't. You say, I need one. I want one. I want one. I want to see God do the impossible, the miraculous. I don't want to settle for the mediocrity. I don't want to settle for the status quo. I'm going to invite you to come and make a decision for Christ this morning. It might be an impossible decision that you're wanting to make. Just step out by faith and let God show His power, friend. You might be thinking of an individual, a family in your life, and you think, all hope is lost. Can I tell you, you've lost your vision. Never give up. Dying believe that person's going to get saved. Die believing that person's going to get revived. Die being faithful to the promises of God. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm extending an invitation to our church to ask, will you surrender your life to fulfill a God-sized dream? Listen, ask God for one if you don't have it. The music's going to begin to play here in just a moment. But listen, when that music begins to play, I want you to do this. Now listen to me. I want you to feel at full liberty to pray here around the altar, in the aisle, in your seat. But folks, we need to ask God to resurrect some visions in this place. In your family, in my heart, your heart. Do you have vision this morning for the great things that God wants to do? Let me close with this. You are in three categories this morning. You and I are in three categories this morning. One of the three. The first one is, as a Christian, I am either living a malicious life. That's the first category. If I'm not necessarily living a malicious life, the other category is this. I am living a mediocre life, settling for status quo. But then there's the third one. There's the opportunity that God wants each of us to be in, and that's called the miraculous life. A life where you're seeing the miraculous power of God in your own heart and in the lives around you. That is what we need to think about. What category are you in this morning? Make a decision for the Lord that will bring glory to Him. Be obedient to the God-given vision that He wants you to have. Would you stand with me?